Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for listening. Word of Eternal Life, a ministry of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida. And we have been discussing the mountain speech of Jesus Christ from Matthew chapter 5 to 7. And we just finished about that last part of it last week, and the verse 28 is the only verse left in that chapter 7. It reads like this: when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at the teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is very interesting that Jesus spoke with authority and power, because he is the Word himself. He was from heaven. He is in heaven at the moment, and his presence in all the earth. Jesus is the Word, a Trinity, a part of the Trinity of Old Testament was taught like this: Yahweh or Jehovah includes three persons. One, the Father, and the second, the Word, and the third, the Spirit. This is how the Trinity was identified in the Old Testament. But even though that was not explained in individual ministries of God the Father, Holy Spirit, and the Son God, but it was there. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, and it says there, the earth was with no form. This is after the first creation, coming to the second creation, where the earth lost its form and it was void, and the Spirit of the God was hovering over the waters which covered the earth. So there was a ministry right there, the Spirit of God, right there, identified separately from the Father. Then we see the Word of God, Word, which means God spoke the Word and everything created. So all three persons of the Trinity was identified right there, but someone, or most of the people in the Old Testament or even today, did not understand that, because they did not pay attention to the Word, Scriptures, verified right there. Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, which was 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew chapter 5 to 7, this was the message, the basic teachings that Jesus gave in Israel first time, for people to learn, understand the rules, the laws of the Torah, the laws of the Old Testament, and how one should live by fulfilling the law. Those who listen to these words and mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built a house on the rock, Jesus said. So when after that, the people were amazed to the word, the way the God spoke. This is not like our teachers of the law was teaching. At the time, their Pharisees and scribes, they were teaching the people, but they didn't have the authority of the Scripture, because they themselves did not understand. They were not able to define God the Father, Son, or the God the Word, the Father, and the Spirit. Now, after this, Jesus coming out of the mountain, when he came down, Matthew chapter 8, we are going into, when he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. Large crowds followed him. A man with a leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Where in the world that this leper have gotten that kind of faith? He is coming in as soon as he comes out down from the mountainside. This means the leper was somewhere far, standing there or sitting there somewhere, and he was listening to the speech of Jesus Christ. He understood what the Lord was preaching. He understood that this is the Lord God himself in human form. He understood Christos or Jesus or Christ. He is the Christ. And that is how a man will not speak this way other than he is Christ. And the leper was able to come to resolve his leprosy. Why would a leper come unless he had faith? Large crowd followed him. A man with a leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, I am ready, he says. Lord, I am ready. I want to be cleansed. I want to be healed from this leprosy. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. You see, no one will touch a leper because leprosy is such a terrible disease. It will infecting the organs, the body parts, and it was infecting and destroying the glands, tissues, and even the fingers can fall off. After a while, they say that this is such a horrible disease and there's no cure, and there is no cure at the time. So there is this leper. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Why was not Jesus not afraid to touch him? He knew himself, Jesus, he is God himself. His power, his hands, as godly power in his hands, in his body. And he touched the man. And he said, I am willing, he said, be clean. I am willing, Jesus said. See, if you are ready, I am ready, Jesus is ready. If I am ready to fall before him, or I am ready to surrender, and I am ready to accept him, Jesus is ready. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cured. Immediately. How do you see? That means his body's his tissues started decaying and being infected. All those gone immediately. That is the sign. How would the scripture say that he was immediately cleaned otherwise? He was healed right away. Then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to him. I mean, why would he go back to a priest when Jesus says, he healed him, and also telling him, go and follow the commandment, because he was still in the Old Testament commandment, in the Old Testament law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Sometimes there are Jewish brothers and sisters who were taught by some ignorant people or certain teachers that Jesus came to abolish the law. Jesus did not came to abolish the law. He wanted to establish the law. And we read that from Matthew 5 to 7. When you study, many of the things he said was based on the law which was existent in the Judaic community, which was given by the Levitical laws, the Ten Commandments. All those laws were implementing. Jesus was supposedly making all those laws come true. So he said, according to the law of the Levitical law, a leper, if he has to be proved to be clean, he has to be tested by the priest. See, the priest of the Old Testament Israelites, they were like a doctor, they were like a priest, they were like a pastor, they were like everything. They prayed for them, they conducted the sacrifices for them, they diagnosed the diseases for people, and they were also had been medicaments in the prescribed Old Testament book of law. And all those were conducted by the priest. Now, who is the appointed person in the Old Testament time will certify that you are clean? or you are healed. Today, a physician does that. Those days, the physician also was the priest, like I mentioned. So there is a ceremonial law that the leper has to go, and the priest does a test. I'm not going to go into the, what kind of test it is, because it's in the book of Leviticus. It's written how the priest conduct that test, and by testing, he finds the person is healed. By the test result, it says, if this is the way it comes up, this person is clean, you can declare him, go back to his community. So this was the law that Jesus appointed, the same law to be fulfilled. Jesus could have said, listen, I am the Son of God and I am giving you the ultimate authority, go back to your house. But he would not do that. The reason is that there is a societal law that not everybody is going to accept him, not even one person going to accept him back to house, his house or his community, unless he go through that Levitical process going through the priest. So Jesus wanted to make sure this was accepted. The community will accept it. And he allowed him, he asked him to go back. Instead of spreading the news, go back to the priest. Now you understand why I'm saying this, because one time a Jewish girl, young lady, she told me that Jesus came to abolish the law, the Mosaic law. No, it was not true. I explained to her very clearly. This young lady was a university educated young lady, but she had this misbelief in her. And I'm stating that again, that in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, it says how to fulfill the law. You wanted to go and read that. It's in the book of Leviticus 13 and 14 in the Old Testament, which is part of the Torah. Now, another event is described by Matthew and also other gospel writers, that the faith of a centurion. Here, a man who was an officer over 100 Roman soldiers. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, by the way, Jesus lived nearby Capernaum in Galilee. And supposedly we read from the other part of the Gospels that Capernaum was a big city. It had higher storied buildings. I'm not aware how they constructed those high story buildings those days, but Capernaum was as high as heaven, one time Jesus said, which means they had higher buildings. Centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. Now listen, how would the centurion comes out right after that? His message was done and he was coming down. The leper came and he got healed. Now there is the centurion coming. The centurion is a authority, a Roman centurion, is a captain of the 100 soldiers. Now he is watching Jesus. He is listening to his message. He figured this is the Son of God. He figured this is the Christ who was to come, with the Jewish people were saying. He here, when he go to nearby the synagogues and Pharisees, on all the time they were reading the book of Isaiah concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus, coming of the Messiah. They did not know the name Jesus at the time, but they were hearing. But now Jesus is here. Jesus is over 30 years old. Now he is ministering to people. Now look, the centurion, Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. See, immediately, as soon as the need was requested, he asked him, Lord, could you heal my servant? This is not even his son, but this is his servant, and he is asking for help. Jesus said, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come to under my roof. I do not deserve, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. See, the centurion, realizing the position of Jesus, This is a Jewish rabbi, as publicly known by us as Jesus was known as now, with his preaching, his teaching, and he's getting known between people of Israel, and even Romans are listening to him, soldiers, tax collectors, many people, foreigners, Gentiles, all living in the area of this city, Capernaum, that is near the Sea of Galilee, which was a very populated area of all nationalities. Many Gentiles lived there as well. So the centurion replies, "Lord, don't, please. I am not someone that you will be able to come to my house." Because he found Jesus is a rabbi, he's a holy man of God. I don't have the privilege to invite him because I'm a Roman. I worship idols and different. I am not a godly person. He understood his position. I am not eligible that you come to my house. So this is what the centurion says. "For I myself am a man under authority." See, I'm under authority. I am under the Rome. I am under my generals and higher officers above me. I'm under authority. So with soldiers under me, I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. See, he's saying, I am a man of authority. I am under authority, and I have people under me, and they obey me. But regardless of all my position and privileges, I am nothing for you to invite inside my house. So therefore, please, just say a word. Say a word, and my servant will be healed. See, today, this is what we are not asking. God, touch me. Give me a word. I want to be healed. Lord, help me. I want this to be done with my faith in you. When Jesus heard this, he was astonishing and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." That's a faith that Jesus sensed his faith from him. Jesus sensed your faith and my faith. If we are faithful to God, or we are listening to God, if we obey God, Jesus sensed that already. We do not have to even tell him all the details. Just give me a word. That's what we must be asking. When he saw the faith, it was expressed there. Did Jesus knew his heart before? I will say yes. Now, I mentioned many times the birth of Jesus, and he was born as the Spirit God. He was not born as the human spirit in him. He was born with the God Spirit. As he was in heaven, as God's word who he was speaking through him, he was a person and God was speaking through him. God was in him, he was in God, and they were one triune God. The Spirit of God was in him and he incarnated in flesh. He didn't get a human spirit when he born as a human body. He himself was God in spirit. He descended in spirit. In the Holy Spirit, he was in the womb of Mary. The conception took place as the seed, as how the conception happens in the egg of the woman's uterus. It took place. And that is how the baby was. Jesus was incarnated to form a baby, as human baby, as flesh in human baby, not spirit as human. In spirit, he himself was God. So I like to clarify that. Many people think that he was a human when he was born just because his body was human. No, the word became flesh. The word is God's word, which is in Aramaic, the memra of God. The member of God is the one who was in God, who decides, who made, made them, all the things happen in the universe, they're done through him. And that is God's memra. And the memra of God is the word or logos in Greek, which incarnated in flesh. In flesh. No, it's not in human spirit, in human flesh. God spirit in human flesh. So Jesus knew the thoughts of actions and your problems. Why? We just have to ask him. Now the same thing happened here. As we see, the centurion was asking. Jesus said, I have not seen this faith, even in Israel. Even in Israel. See, the question today, do we have the faith in Jesus Christ and in God? So if we ask, it shall be done, if we have the faith in him. Now, then Jesus say that many will come. Then he say a prophecy which will happen in the future. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is an amazing prophecy which is going to happen. Where is this going to happen? In the kingdom of heaven. Where is the kingdom of heaven? Where is? I will tell you that it's exactly in heaven itself. Now, the kingdom of God, that when Jesus came, he established, he came to bring the kingdom of God in the earth. By what is in the kingdom of God? It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Where is that? It's in us. When Christ came, he brought the kingdom of God. That is given to us. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and we believed in him and we became the children of God, we got joy, we got righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So that's what the Christians is about. Now, what happened to the people who have the kingdom of God in them? We are worshiping with people, those who have the same experience, and also others who are interested to come in to the church and worship. And now, what is Jesus saying? The dinner which we are talking about is in the kingdom of heaven. Now, those people who accepted Christ, who has the kingdom of God in them, they will go to the kingdom of heaven. See, sometimes a pastor never explained this very well, but I want to explain this to you, that there will be a wedding banquet in heaven. When will that wedding banquet take place? After Jesus Christ returned in the mid-air, as it says in the book of the 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. I mentioned it so many times, so you might go and read that. When the Christ will come with the voice of the archangel, with a mighty voice, and the trumpet sound of God, everybody who died in Christ will resurrect, and those who are alive and believing in Christ's arrival, waiting for him, will be transformed. And all those together will rise in the mid-air to meet him. After they meet him in heaven, in the mid-air, what will happen? They will be received by Christ and taken to the heavens, the third heavens where God established his throne. And where he goes to the heaven, and there is 7 years of time there. God will introduce every believer and the pastors and leaders and everyone who work for the kingdom of God and every believers to the Father. And this is the introduction. It's not because Father doesn't know you, but that is what happens in heaven. I mean, the angels, thousands upon thousands, maybe millions, and there will be the wedding of the Lamb. What is the wedding of the Lamb? It's in the book of Revelation chapter 19. In the wedding of the Lamb is happened. In the book of Revelation, it says, verse 7, and it says that, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Who is the bride? The church, the one who is waiting upon him. They don't get mingled with the worldly people. and so that they will be called as virgin. It's not the marriage of the virgin and husband in earth. It is like the holy life of Christian life, as you are separated from the world and sinful desires and those sort of things, and waiting upon the Lord, who is the bride, spiritually speaking. Christ is the bridegroom of the church, and the believers are the bride. So the believers from all over the world who are taken up in heaven, and they are preparing for a wedding. Then the wedding is like the bride has made herself ready. Bride is the believers, I said. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. See, you did good things in the earth for helping others and preaching and helping the people who are in needy, other believers and even non-believers. And those kind of things are the righteous acts. But you were righteous by the faith in Christ alone. That's another thing. That is, become you are righteous by believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you put the trust in Him. Now, the wedding ceremony is like this. Verse 9, chapter 19 of Revelation. Then the angel said to me, this is here, said to me, is future event is seeing by John Apostle in the vision, that he is seeing this. And write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding of supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the words of God. These are the words of God. The angel was telling to John the Apostle. He was taken up to heaven to see the revelation of what will happen after the Christ, his servants, go up to heaven. So that is the wedding that Jesus is talking about. Here the wedding, Matthew chapter we are reading, where in the 8th chapter we just read, and there will be a wedding ceremony and the wedding of the Lamb. Now let me say quickly what the wedding of the Lamb is. The wedding of the Lamb is that joining together the church, the believers, and Christ together joining. Now you may ask, why weren't they joined when they were in the earth? Yes, we believe by faith and we joined Jesus Christ and we took baptism in the water and became the bride. And when you get to heaven, God the Father in front of there, the Holy Spirit of God, the Trinity of God, comes all over again, over the church and all over the Christ again, and become giving an anointing together and making them one. This is what the wedding ceremony is about. It is not described in the Bible, and some lot of pastors probably are not understanding this part. And I got to tell you, this is the Holy Spirit who revealed this to me. And this is how wedding is a ceremony of joining husband and wife. So similarly, symbolically, it's a symbolic of the wedding in the earth. It's a symbolic of what happens in reality. It happens in heaven, that Father God's presence, you will be married to the Christ, the Lord, as the bridegroom, which is conducting a communion of joining with the Christ by the Spirit of God. This is what the wedding ceremony in Jesus Christ. And I will have you next time come back again, and the Lord richly bless you with these verses.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. If you have any more questions, or if you'd like to contact me, my email address is p like Peter, r like Robert, dot chackov like Victor at gmail.com. That is pr.chackov@gmail.com.
Are you tired of trying to rid your home of ants, roaches, and spiders? Have rodents invaded your attic? Are you frustrated paying for service that never really seems to work? Bug Off Pest Control is there to help. After all, whose house is it anyway? With Bug Off, bugs can run, but they can't hide. David and Esther Lunder of Bug Off Pest Control believe in the ministry of WCNO. Licensed and insured, serving Martin and St. Lucie counties. Bug Off Pest Control, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, available at 343-1177.